Please be seated. Let us pray. Eternal and loving God, you are gracious and faithful. Your faithfulness is new every morning, and thank you for being with us today as we gather today in your name. You are the Almighty God, the Creator of heaven and earth. We marvel at your majesty and power, Lord. And we are astonished by the mystery of your loving care that continues in our lives every day. You give us more than we ever deserve in our life, in our bodies, in our souls, and in our spirits. You strengthen us every day, Lord. Thank you for your protection and the good gifts that we receive from you every morning. We come before you today as your children, Lord. Thank you for your grace and redemption you have shown to us through your Son Jesus Christ, who came and died for us and rose again so that we can experience the power of resurrection in our lives. You open the way of eternal life to every race and nation and promise the gift of the Holy Spirit that is in us and working through us today, Lord. Thank you for giving us the opportunity and the privilege to be blessed part of the kingdom of God. We come to honor you and adore you and worship you together with all the saints around the world and in heaven. Let our praises and our songs, our prayers and our meditations of the word, and all the things that we do here, Lord, bring honor and glory to your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So our greeting time now, we can greet each other. If you can stand up and wave each other or unmute everybody. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Martha. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Nice to hear you. Good morning. Robert, good morning. Nice to see you. Good morning. The Howell family. Where are the other ones? Are they there? They're at the back. Okay. Miss Lou and Mr. James, how are you? We missed you in Sunday school. Hope you are doing well.
Okay.
Yeah, good. We'll pray. Continue to pray for you, Mr. Jean. How are you?
Yes.
Good morning, Robert. Good morning. Nice to see you back. And Chuck and Vicky, how are you? Is Chuck there?
Oh,
yeah. Oh, I see your hand. All right. Thank you for all joining, and I can give you a little glimpse of who we have here in the church. If you can see all of them. You all have to wait for them.
Hey, everybody.
Good morning. And Penny is still here.
Good morning, Penny.
Now, if you remain seated, the choir will be singing an anthem. There's a great day coming. If you want to join, it is 292 in that red book on the pew if it's available. Please remain seated. Stand for the responsive reading, which is Psalm 119. It is found on the insert that you have in the bulletin, or you can follow online too.
Let your steadfast love come to me, O Lord, your salvation according to your promise.
Then shall I come again for those who taunt me, for I trust in your word.
And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for my hope is in your ordinances.
I will keep your law continuously, forever and ever.
And I shall walk at liberty, for I have sought your precepts.
I will also speak of your testimonies before rulers, and shall not be put to shame.
For I find my delight in your commandments, which I love.
I revere your commandments, which I love, and I will meditate on your statutes.
The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Please be seated. This is our prayer time now. We come together as a children of God before our Heavenly Father to share our prayers of blessings, and we thank God for all the blessings that we receive in our lives. And also we bring our prayers of concerns and burdens together as a church and lift them up to the throne of grace of God. God has promised that He will answer our prayers according to His will and according to His time. So let us patiently wait for the prayers that God is working behind the scenes, and let us bring all of our concerns and burdens together as we come together. The regular prayer requests are listed at the back of the bulletin. Use that list as your prayer items regularly. post it on your study desk or your prayer desk, and remember these people and items in your prayers. Are there any special names or items to call out from this list or anywhere else?
I'd like to update on Betty Hall, who was listed on there. I found out from her son that she actually passed away in October, and also from her son, he lost his son a few days before that, so they had to bury them both in October. So the Hall family should be updated for lots of prayers.
Betty Hall
passed away, and Austin Hall passed away.
Let's keep that family in our prayers for peace and comfort during this time. Let's continue to pray for the recovery and healing of Martha and Jack. And how is Jack doing, Miss Linda?
He's real weak.
Real weak?
Yeah.
Okay. We'll continue to pray for him and we love him. Let him know, please. And Martha, I thank you for joining today too.
Thank you. I appreciate everybody's prayers. I'm getting stronger each day.
All right. That's great. And did you hear back from Gene how he's doing?
No, I've not talked with him this
morning. Not him this morning. Let's continue to pray for Gene Brown as he's recovering from his stroke.
Pastor, I would like to thank everybody for prayers for Leon Pace. He had a stroke, but he wasn't moving at all. But now he's trying to walk and he's coming around real good.
Oh, okay, so progress in his health. Okay, we'll thank God for the healing and continue pray for the continued recovery of Leon Tate.
I wanted to add one other. We had mentioned Stanley Marsters, my uncle. He's recovering from broken ribs on a fall, but his other half, Lucy, she actually fell and broke her hip. So she's in her late 80s, so pray for recovery for that, please. Lucy is her name.
I didn't see Bob and Kathy today. Hope they are doing well. Let us continue to keep them in our prayers. Let's also pray for our country as a whole after the election, and everything needs to be smooth and peaceful. That let us pray that God will continue to keep it peaceful during this time of transition. Let's pray for the people who are working in front lines for the health and safety, and also for our services, deliveries and groceries, and all those people who are working in the service industry, fire and military, police. Let us pray that they will continue to be safe and they can do the work that they are doing for us safely. Let us thank God for the services that they are doing as well. Let's keep that in our prayers. During this coming holiday season, let us also keep our prayers up so that everything will be okay, particularly during this pandemic time. People are very nervous and people are getting stressful, but the holidays can be a stressful time in addition to that. So let us keep that in mind and be in prayer during this holiday season as well.
Brain
tumor, and they removed that, but it's stage 4 cancer. So I'll just pray that his name's Case, C-A-S-E. Case.
His last name is.
Is young?
He's in his late
50s, I think. Okay. Anything else special to call out?
There's a couple on here that I had requested. Brianna Zuber is my daughter, and she lives in California, and they're finally getting some decent rain. And Bobby and family, his dad passed away. He's a driver that comes through my line at work, and he's doing things like better. And Gary and family, he's another driver that comes through my line, and his brother is paralyzed. He's been in the hospital for quite some time, but they've moved him to a rehabilitation facility, which it doesn't look like he's going to make it, but, you know.
And did Brianna have some problems with the fire?
They were very, very, very close to some of the fire.
They're okay.
They pack up and are ready to evacuate, but she said they're getting some good, decent rain right now.
Okay. So. That is good to know.
Oh, Pastor, I forgot. I would also ask for prayers for my prayer partner up in Louisville, Mississippi. She's in her 90s, and she texted me yesterday and told me to ask for prayer for her.
What's her name again?
Leona Sanders.
Leona Sanders. All right. Anything else? Yes, Jan.
Our granddaughter, who's Mackenzie Knight, was on the prayer list because she and her mom had COVID. Mackenzie has recovered very well. She's 9 and she's got all her energy back. So, but, you know, some children don't do as well. So we are very grateful to hear those feet over our head. And Harry and I are on. And at one point, Harry was unable to walk. You all noticed he came up on the stairs without assistance. That doesn't always happen. So we need to have a lot of gratitude. And thanks to all who have been our friends and the prayers of this church. You don't know how much it means until you need it.
Absolutely. And how is Mackenzie's mom, right? That was...
She recovered as well.
Okay.
She still has, like, funny little relapses.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of go with it, which makes Mackenzie's energy even worse.
More worse.
Okay. I had it too, Mom. Why are you still sitting on the sofa?
Okay. We'll continue to pray for her. Mm-hmm. And thanks for... thanks be to God for the recovery that Michelle Mackenzie got. Okay. And the whole family is staying home, quarantined. Are you all doing okay?
The house. Yes, we're all fine and everybody's well. And it was a precautionary thing for Jace's school.
Okay.
He might have been in contact. He might have.
He was exposed a little bit, but... I mean, considering their health and the energy that they have, they may not even show up any symptoms. So they are quarantining at home. Hopefully they'll be here next Sunday. Just keep them in our prayers. There's a lot of spread with this pandemic growing. We don't read a lot about it lately because it has come to a new normal. People are not paying attention to that. But the spread is going really high. So we need to keep our prayers up so that it is not about us being safe, but God will bring an end to this pandemic. The whole world is going upside down because of it. So let us continue to pray that God will bring a solution to this problem and bring an end to this. And He will do that at the right time, but our hours is to pray and keep our prayers up. If nobody has anything else to add or raise at this time, let us go to God in prayer together. And we'll spend a few moments in silent prayers, and you can bring up your unspoken prayers at that time. And then I will close with a summarized prayer at the end. Let us pray.
Thank you.
Loving Heavenly Father, we come before you as your children, trusting in your promises that you will answer our prayers according to your time and your will. As we come before you, Lord, we pray that you will guide us and give us your peace and wisdom every day to live in this world. Thank you for the good health and strength that you have given us in our bodies to get up this morning and come together in church and also to be online to worship together, Lord. Thank you for the opportunity that you give us, Lord, even in the midst of difficult situations and pandemic around us. We come before you with gratefulness and thanksgiving in our hearts as we come towards another close of another year and celebration of the holidays. We thank you for taking us this far in our lives, and as we look back, it is all because of your faithfulness and not because of who we are or what we have done. And thank you for always being there for us, protecting us, caring for us, and guiding us. We bring before you the concerns and burdens of our lives together, the ones that have been listed here and also the one has been called out especially, Lord. Those who have lost their dear ones, we pray that you will comfort them with your peace and be with them in your presence so that they will understand that there is someone who comforts them and consoles them in the midst of their grief. We pray for those who are recovering in various ways from their sicknesses in their bodies. We thank you for the healing, and we pray for continued healing in their bodies. Particularly we pray for Martha and Jack and Jean Brown and those who have been mentioned here, Lord. We pray that you will touch them with your healing hand. Above all, we pray for peace in their hearts and minds and their family members who care for them, and the doctors and nurses to be guided by the wisdom of the Holy Spirit to do the right things. We pray for those who are celebrating because of the healing that they have received, particularly Mackenzie, who has recovered from COVID. We thank you for the recovery, and we pray for the whole family as they are recovering from the after effects of the COVID. Lord, we pray for those who are affected by this pandemic around the world. Lord, we pray that you will bring an end to this problem. At the right time, we know that you will act according to your will. We pray for those who are struggling with various difficulties. Particularly, we pray for Leon Tate and Leona Francis and all those people who have been named here and their families. We pray for their peace and comfort during this time of difficulty that they are going through. We pray for the Bobby and family and Gary and family as they are struggling with the grief and various health difficulties in various situations. We pray that you be with them and comfort them and fill them with your peace. We come before you, Lord, as your people, particularly looking up to you for guidance as a nation. After the elections, we pray that you will guide the leaders of this country to have a smooth transition, whatever way you have it in your will, that it will be peaceful, that it will be good for our nation and our people as a whole to lead the world. We pray for all of those who are struggling and going through difficult times with this pandemic. Particularly, we pray for the frontline workers like the healthcare people, doctors and nurses and technicians, and our service delivery workers, and our fire and policemen and military who are all putting their lives at risk for our sake. We thank you for their services and also pray for their safety, that they can do their job faithfully and honestly, Lord. We thank you for all the blessings you give us in the midst of these difficulties, and help us to always be thankful for all that we receive and all we have and all we are. We come before you today to worship you, Lord. Help us, Lord, to worship you in truth and in spirit, with all the saints around the world and angels in heaven. Praise you and honor you, Lord. Help us to glorify your name in our meditation of the word and the prayers we do together, Lord. Let your Holy Spirit fill us in our hearts and minds so that we will be powerful witnesses for you in the days to come, wherever you place us in our daily lives. Bless us, Lord, as we come before you as a church, as we look for your guidance in the services that we do in this community. Help us, Lord, to be faithful in the opportunities that you have given us to use them for the glory of your name and the spread of your love in this community and around the world. We also lift up our monthly lunch that we are planning for the 29th. We pray for your guidance and wisdom to make it safe, and also we can have an enjoyable time of fellowship together as we used to have. Help us, Lord, together as a church. Bless us today with your presence, and each one of us, according to our needs, go with us and guide us. We pray this prayer in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now the ushers may come forward and take up the offerings. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. Loving God, we come before you as children with our offerings today. We thank you for all the blessings that you give us, even when we don't deserve it. You are the source of all that we have and all we are. You are a gracious God, and we come before you with joyful hearts with our offerings. We offer ourselves at this time also. May we find joy in giving our prayers and presents, gifts and service to support the ministry of this church in this community and around the world. We ask you to accept this offering of your people. We thank you for those who were able to give joyfully, and pray for those who could not give today. Remember, God, all of them in your love. Bless and help us to use this offering to share your love to this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Please remain standing for the reading of the word. Scripture is taken from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 10, verses 21 through 28.
that time Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows who the Son is except the Father. And no one knows who the Father is except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Then he turned to his disciples and said privately, Blessed are the eyes that see what you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings wanted to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law, he replied. How do you read it? He answered, Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. You have answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this and you will live. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Please be seated.
Let us pray. Loving God, we thank you for the gift of the scripture, your living word that you have given us, so that we can experience that in our lives as spirit and life. Thank you for sending your son Jesus Christ, the living word, to be with us in flesh and blood, so that we can experience the presence of God in our midst through your word. As come before your word, Lord, we pray that you will open our hearts and minds to learn and to see the mysteries hidden in your word. Give us a humble and obedient spirit that whatever you teach us and talk to us through your word, that we will obey and go out of this place as your children to spread the word that you have given us to this world. Help us, Lord, to understand the mysteries of your word and illumine our souls. As we meditate on your word, bless us with your wisdom and power. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Rock and our Redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So I wanted to continue with the study of the scripture. Today I am preaching about how do we read the scripture, or how do we read anything, basically. Today's scripture reading, a teacher of the law, a Jewish teacher, came and asked Jesus about a question. And Jesus asked him, what does the law say about it? You are a teacher of the law. And what do you read there, and how do you read it? So what we are reading and how do we read it are sometimes conflicting, sometimes different. That is a problem. So what we are reading should be the thing that it is meant to be read and to be understood. And if you don't understand what is read the way it should be understood, then we will have to learn how to read it, understand properly. So in order to know how we should read the Bible, we need to know what is written and how do you read it. A lot of people have problems with math, and if you ask many of those people who have difficulties with math, it is not the complexity of the problem, maybe a simple problem, but it's the way they understand the question and read the question. They could not get it. That is mostly the problem with people having trouble with math. For example, if I know probably Jason, Ivy are there home now, and I give you a simple example. If Jace and I, we both have some marbles with them, and a few marbles in their hands. And I say that Jace has 24 marbles, which is 8 fewer than Ivy has. How many marbles does Ivy have? It's a very simple problem. You know, many people take it like 18 or 16. Because the word, it looks like you know how many students, you know, many students immediately make the conclusion that the answer is 16. But the actual answer is 32, because it is fewer than, 8 fewer than what Jace has. So that is 32 minus 8 is 24 that Ivy has. But many times you get confused with these word problems because you don't understand what you read and get the wrong answer. The problem is very simple. If you know how many Ivy has and if you know how many Jace has, then it's very easy to subtract that. But here the question is worded a little complicatively so that you will get confused as to the answer is. So understanding what you read is important. And if you don't understand what you read, it can the way it should be read and understood it properly, you can get into a lot of trouble and danger too, particularly when you're driving on the highway. It's a lot of signs that are written there. Therefore, our safety and the safety of other people who drive around us, and also we can have a good system that will send the traffic flow smoothly. So if you don't read those signs the way it should be read, it can cause a lot of trouble and danger as well. For example, a group of tourists, it's a story, they were driving in one of our highways in the United States, and a patrolman, a policeman, stopped their car because they were driving under the minimum speed limit. So he stopped them and asked them if they know the minimum speed limit of that expressway. And the driver said he saw 20 posted all over the highway, so he was driving under 20 miles per hour. He thought that was the speed limit. The policeman said, well, that is the highway sign and that's the Interstate 20, and the maximum speed limit here is 65 miles per hour. So he was confused with the numbers, a tourist being in a new country. Then there was a big shocking gasp came from the back seat. Where the passengers were in the same car, and they were gasped and shocked with a big gasp. And the policeman asked them why they were looking shocked. And they said, that's because we were on Highway 120 a few minutes ago. It's very dangerous, right, how you read the highway signs and the speed limit. Don't get confused. And if you do, and what you read is not what you understand, then it can put yourself at danger and also others at danger as well. So before we look at how to read the Bible, we need to look at why should we read the Bible. The average American person spends a lot of time, that I don't have to tell you, watching TV. An average study says that an average person spends about 1,000 hours watching television a year. So by the time if you grow up in this country, we are born and brought up in this country, and if you were up to, like, by the time you are about 64, 65, you have spent almost 10 years just watching TV. That's just the math. But if you consider the time you spent reading the Bible or going to church, maybe 1 hour a week, and by the age of 64 or 65, it will only add up to about 4 months. So consider that difference. It's a big challenge in front of us, where our priorities are. I'm not telling you not to watch TV, but to think about it, how much time we spend reading the Bible and meditating the Bible and reading the scripture. A lot of people don't read the Bible not because they don't want to, but they are afraid to. And I have had some people told me that if they read the Bible, it makes them uncomfortable. They are afraid that they will become uncomfortable because when they read the scripture, some of the things will prick them and make them uncomfortable. Like Mark Twain said one time, it is not what I don't understand in the Bible that trouble me. It is what I do understand that troubles me. Many times we go after the things that we don't understand. But there's a lot of things that we do understand. And that is what God wants us to dig deeper into and see what that tells us. Sometimes many things you may have to refer to others or scholars. But before you even go there, there's a lot of things that God has opened us to be plain in front of us that clearly speaking to us. So, in the book that we, in the book of Luke, chapter 10, we read here today about that teacher who came and asked Jesus, "What shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus asked him, "What is written there and how do you read it?" And then the answer came back and said, the scripture says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul and with all your strength and all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself." And Jesus answered, "Well, you said it nicely. You are right." But the lawyer did not stop there. And he asked another question. "And who is my neighbor?" So he made the classic mistake of asking a question that he got an answer from Jesus already. He got an answer more than what he bargained for. That's when Jesus told him the story of the famous story of the Good Samaritan and the need to love everyone, including your enemies. And that teacher, a Jewish teacher, I don't know if he ever changed his life back after that, but I'm sure after hearing that story from Jesus, he probably had a new perception, at least, about Samaritans and the people that they hated or they despised in their community. So when you come to the Word of God, the words that Jesus spoke, when you read those things, it will prick you and maybe make you a little uncomfortable so that you can reflect on your life and change our perspective about people and about events and circumstances around us. That's the power of the Word of God. When you read the Bible, the same thing one time will give you one thing, and the next time, based on your life experiences, it will talk to you a different message. But in any case, when you read the Bible, the scripture, it will give you a new perspective about your life situation and your own life that you have to deal with when you read the Bible. So if Jesus' story had gone any longer, I bet that this poor teacher, the fellow, from that day forward became a better neighbor to the rest of his world than he would have ever dreamed possible if he listened to the words of Jesus Christ during that day. So that's basically why and how we should read the Bible. It is to change us and our perception about our brothers and sisters and about the circumstances and the environment around us when we read the Bible. Like the famous preacher D.L. Moody said, the scriptures were not given to us to increase our knowledge, but the scriptures were given to us to change our lives. We read in 2 Timothy, Paul says that all scripture is given by the inspiration of God for us to be profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for training, and to be complete in and equipped in every good work. That's what Paul is telling Timothy. Why should he read and spend more time reading the Bible? It is about having good doctrine. The scripture tells us what is a good doctrine, what we believe and why do we believe certain things, why do we do certain things. The scripture teaches us that. It is also for reproof or rebuke. Shows us when we are wrong, it gives us the conviction to go back and correct and to get on track when we are going off track. And also we profit from teaching, as Paul says. It teaches us what is right and wrong. It is like a measuring yardstick. that you place in front of you so that you can measure your lives if it is straight or crooked only by aligning a stick with a straight stick. Only then you can tell how crooked the stick is. So the straight stick is the standard, the word of God, that we have so that we can measure ourselves and our lives based on that measuring stick, so we can know that how much crooked our life is, so that we can straighten it back to the standard which is the scripture. And also it is about training in righteousness, to stay on track. Righteousness is God's way of living, so that we can be trained to live in God's ways. That is why we need to read the Bible. And also Paul says in that verse that it will make you complete in every righteousness and will be equipped to do our work in this world that God has wanted us to do. So the Bible gives us a lot of things about teaching us, correcting us, and doctrines and guiding us every day. That is what the Bible, the instruction book that God has given us to follow. Then how do we read the Bible? So we know why should we read the Bible, and it's essential that we should read the Bible. But how do we read it? There are many different versions that we can find. You know, you can talk about the RSV, NRSV, King James Version, New King James Version, the Living Translation, the NIV, New International Version. It's a lot of different versions that we can say we can get in the English language. These versions of the Bible are almost all the same, but at the same time are very readable. And if you find this hard to read, still you can explore the versions that are less literal for the sake of being easier to read. The one that I like is like New International Version. And you can also follow the New Revised Standard Version, whichever you like. But the theme is the same, but different language. Whatever you like or whatever easy to follow for you. So these are all good versions to read. So to find a good version of the Bible that is good for you, for your language standard, is what you want to select one. And also having a study Bible may be a little bit more helpful as well. So all of these are available in our bookstores now, particularly in our Christian bookstores. You can find any of these versions. And then finding the time to read the book, read the Bible and scripture, is very important. You have to make time for it. Just like we take our time to do our daily things. I mean, we take time to take a shower, we time to take time to get ready, or eating our breakfast or dinner. We take time for these essential things in our lives which are essential and need to be done. But reading the scripture and meditating the word also will have to become an essential part of our life every day, and find the time for it. The best time for some people may be early in the morning, or sometime it may be after dinner or before dinner. It's up to you, to your personal preference. When I was a student, I used to take the lunch time to read the Bible, because it helped me find the right time because of my study schedules. So whatever time fits you, you have to put in your calendar that scripture reading is important, and it has to have a scheduled time to read it. Find the timing is the best for you. Write it on your calendar and make it a part of your calendar every day. And then reading and finding the meaning, like Jesus is asking the teacher of the law about what is written and how did you read it. The books in the Bible are not in any order, particularly it's not in any chronological order or in any order, basically. It's a collection of books that we received. So we can put it in the order that we would like to learn. Many people find the New Testament to be easier to read because of the Gospels that are simple to read than words of Jesus Christ, which is good. Start with that. Or if you want to start with the Psalms, praise songs, you do that. Some people love the Psalms and do start with that. Whatever works for you, but to me, starting with the Gospels probably is a good idea, because you get to know what Jesus Christ said about the scriptures and also the importance of reading the scriptures. And also he gives us a lot of practical stories and suggestions about how to live a Christian life in this world. So what about works? Some of the Old Testament books like Proverbs and others may be interesting to some people because it has a lot of wisdom, words of wisdom in it. So you can find whatever your taste is and start with that. But I would not recommend starting with Revelation or any of the prophecies because it may take a little bit more time to understand those things. Then relate and pray and ask God to speak to you. Even if you find the right place and the right time and the right book, it is the Holy Spirit that gives us the insight and the message that you want to hear. So we have to be open and with a humble spirit before the Word of God. So whatever God speaks to us, we need to pray and reflect on our lives, how that is applicable and how we should respond to it. Reflect on it and not read in quantity, but in quality. You know, it's not about reading so many chapters every day. It is about reading. The quality of reading is very important. It is like receiving a handwritten letter from a friend who has been away for a long time, and you received a letter all of a sudden. You open it with excitement, and then you read it. Sometimes you reread it to see what that friend has been doing and what he or she is saying to us. And we love to read those letters, like a love letter from God. The scripture is really a love letter from God. Read it like a loving letter from God that is trying to teach us or trying to talk to us every day. And then finding the meaning at the right setting in our lives. Every day is different in our life. Yesterday was different from today. And tomorrow definitely is going to be different. We know that. Especially in this time and age. Every day changes. And nothing stays constant. But the scripture will have a message for us each day for that day. If we come before the scripture and be obedient and humble before the Holy Spirit. And reflect on it based on our situations. Maybe some of you need comfort or hope on a particular time, or need correction or direction, or maybe you need guidance or wisdom, or maybe you need some things that you want to pass on to somebody else. But God knows your situation, and when we come before the Word of God, the Word of God will speak to us according to what we need and what we need to hear at that time. And then above all, I would recommend that you try to memorize the Bible. That used to be a practice in our Sunday school when I grew up, memorizing the verses. But I don't know how much we do that with our children now. Because whatever you read can only stay in your memory so much. And like a preacher, I always say that the greatest dynamic preacher can only preach enough to take with you only 10% of what he said. All the 90% will go away. But if you memorize something, the whole 100% will be there in your memory. So try that. If you haven't started, it is never too late to start memorizing scriptures, scripture verses. Teach our children to memorize scripture verses. 100% of memories will help you when wherever you are in your life. If you have heard about the organization called the Navigators, who take the gospel to different communities around this country. And Dawson Trotman, Porky, by the name Porky that he was known by, became a child of God. And he, when he was a young child, he used to memorize a lot of Bible verses. But he did not understand what those Bible verses were. But those were stuck with him in his heart. And when he grew up, some of the verses that he memorized came back in his life, and then he became a Christian because of those. So many times you don't have to be a Christian to memorize these things. But those memorized verses came to his mind when he was an adult, and then he dedicated his life and started the organization called the Navigators. If you want to look it up, it is still, they are still doing a tremendous work. So throughout history, people have memorized a lot of these things. That is how we got this Bible. So memorizing the Bible is very important. And above all, the power of the scripture is what we look for when we read the Bible. It is very powerful. It changes our lives. Regardless of how you read it, where you read it, if you have an open mind and an obedient and humble spirit, God's scripture, God's word will change our lives for the better. I was reading a story about a mission group who went to Russia to distribute Bibles. In the 1930s, when they were under Stalin and the communist rule, Stalin ordered all the Bibles to be gathered from the country and burned it. So they did thousands and thousands of Bibles they burned, but the rest of the Bibles that they gathered and collected were all stored in a warehouse. Unfortunately, the military or the soldiers forgot about it at that time, or fortunately for the later people there. And they left all of these Bibles in a warehouse, forgot about it, and after in years when the communist rule went away in 1994, a mission group from the United States got permission to go back there with for distributing the Bible. It was close to about 60 years after Stalin did that. When they went to there to take the Bible with them, they could not take all the Bibles they wanted to take. So when they landed in Stavropol, that particular city that they were planning to distribute the Bible, they heard a story about a warehouse where the military has stored a lot of Bibles. They heard that story. So they decided to go and check it out. Lo and behold, when they went there and checked out that warehouse, there was stacks and stacks of Bible. Fortunately saved, because they forgot about all of that. And so the mission team decided to use those Bibles, and they took all the boxes out and then started dusting off all the dust and cleaning up. And they hired a bunch of laborers to come and help them out to sort this out. And one young man who was not a believer, who never had any interest in it, he came just for the money to work with them on daily wages. But a few hours after started working there, that young man disappeared. And they could not find him, and finally they looked for him. And he was found in the corner of another room with a Bible in his hands and tears rolling from his eyes. They could not understand why he was doing that. So they asked them what happened. And he said that he came there to work to get money there, but when he was sorting through the Bible, one Bible that he got was his grandmother's Bible. His own grandmother has written her name on the first page of the book, and he realized that it was his grandmother, and that touched his heart. And he gave his life to Christ that day, and he became the main point of that mission work in that city of Stavropol from that day. What an amazing story that is. The scripture will talk to us and change our lives. And the God of the scripture is the same no matter where you are. Our situations change, our lives change, our friends change, our family changes. All these things change. But God does not change, and his words will never change. As we read in Hebrews, "For the word of God is living and active. It is sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing our soul and our spirit, and also joints and our marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of our hearts." That is what the power of the scripture is. It pierces into our hearts and changes our lives for the better. May we find time every day to communicate with God and meditate on the word of God, and teach our children, our next generation, the importance of reading the Bible and meditating on it. May the good Lord bless you all with these words as we go from this place. to be good witnesses for God's kingdom in the days to come. Amen. The closing hymn is Softly and Tenderly, hymn number 348 in the Blue Book. If you are able, please stand for the closing hymn. Someone has said a Bible that is falling apart probably belongs to someone who is not. As we go from this place, let the Word of God dwell in our hearts. Let us dedicate our time to read the Scripture and base our lives on the standard which is the Scripture. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, love of the Heavenly Father, and the everlasting comfort and fellowship of the Holy Spirit go with you now and forevermore. Amen.
Amen. Amen.